for heaven. We note here the Lord did not set the gospel of the New Testament on a collision course with the Old Testament law. Rather, the Lord Jesus founded the gospel upon the law. What a difference that is. The gospel is not to undo the law, but built upon it. And Calvary was God's vindication of the law, exercising mercy to sinners, but still upholding every jot and tittle of the law. We have to also note that there is no variance between the gospel of righteousness, which the Lord Jesus preached, and the righteousness proclaimed by the Apostle Paul. Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gollaher. Great privilege to bring you the message of the gospel today. And we're going to a particular text that ought to really shake the boots of us, because here are some of the strongest words of the Lord Jesus concerning the standard of entrance into heaven. And I'm reading here from Matthew 5. This is the Sermon on the Mount, and verse 20. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, it's important that we get some context, and we want to go back here to the earlier verses beyond or before this, and we're just coming in at the very last beatitude, and it's dealing with persecution. Matthew 5 and verse 11. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely, for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savour, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden underfoot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works, and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments, and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. And then comes our text. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, if I may just introduce the sermon that's coming up here today from the pulpit of our church and simply say that this is God's standard, that we need a perfect righteousness. We need a perfect body of perfections that we might enter into the presence of God. But, of course, no man here on earth has that perfection. There was but one only who earned a perfect righteousness, who kept the law perfectly, who did the will of his heavenly Father every day, every hour, every minute, out of a heart full of love for the glory of God. And that, of course, is the Lord Jesus. And the wonder of the gospel, the amazing message of the gospel is that the Lord Jesus will give his righteousness to us. and that we, though by nature filthy and stained by sin, may be clothed in the perfect white righteousness of the Son of God. And this is the answer to the standard that Jesus set, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. So here is the gospel message that is greatly required because of the inflexible standard by which God judges men. Stay with us now as we turn to the pulpit ministry of our church on this very text, Matthew 5, verse 20. And you might be trusting in the do's and don'ts of religion. Something that you can do and try to do well, and that becomes the basis on which you say, God accepts me. If that's the case, you're living in bondage, in denial of the gospel. And the Lord says that your righteousness shall in no case get you into the kingdom of heaven. Now, Matthew chapter 5 here, there are six examples, expounding the need of heart religion. Not the do's and don'ts, not the trivia of the things you should or should not do. But you'll notice here, and we're going to look for these divisions, and they start here in verse 21, where, and this is the first example, ye have heard that it was said by them of old time. Now this language repeats over and over. We looked at it before, I know. Some people here have heard this in the recent weeks, I know. But this is vital. Because if we get this outline in chapter 5, we will begin to see how the Lord debunked the false notion of these Pharisees and sought to direct them into the truth. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you. And then he goes on to point out that it is the heart, the anger. It's a matter of the heart, the motives, the thoughts, the intentions, or the intents of the heart. Example 2 is in verse 27. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you. And again, there is an example of lust at work in the heart. It's a matter of the heart. And so the Lord's building on this. Verse 31. Example 3. It hath been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorce. But I say unto you, that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery. And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced, committeth adultery. And here again, the Lord is pointing out, it's not just a matter of what's legal. It's a matter of the motives and the intents of the heart. Verse 33, another one. Verse 38, another one. And verse 43, that we are called, ye have heard that hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy, but I say unto you, love your enemies. How hard is that? How different is that? And of all these, well, they are more than the letter of the law. That's what the Lord is pointing out in these things. They are the spirit of the law, which calls us to love the Lord with all our hearts and our neighbors, our fellow men, as ourselves. Now this test of purity of heart is your relationship with God, your attitude to Him, your love for Him. And that is more than just the letter of the law. Now, I want to apply tonight three tests which will, I trust, by God's help, enable you to explore and examine the state of your heart. Whether you're living in external religion or whether your faith is a matter of the heart, whether you apply the law in spirit or merely in letter. And so I want to just take a few moments here to look at these three things. Firstly, the use of the law through the spirit will humble us. If we understand the law of God aright, as the Lord Jesus taught it, it will drive us to our knees to seek the mercy of the Lord. The law, when it is accompanied with grace, works as a hammer to break the hardened heart. And that's what the Word of God is to do. It is to tenderize the human heart. It shows our sin. It's the labor that impresses upon us our very defilement. And we hear the call to be perfect, even as our Father is perfect. Notice that in verse 48 at the end of the chapter. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Now that's the standard God demands. And there's not one in this meeting tonight has reached that. There's not a person in the world living today that has reached that. There's only one person who has reached that perfection. And that, of course, is our Lord Jesus, who has given us this gospel. And so the godly Christian who's growing in grace is also shrinking in his own estimation. Just like John the Baptist saying that Christ must increase, but I must decrease. There was something lacking in the religion of the Pharisees. It was the denial of self. It was self-renouncement. And it was this self-confidence in their own ability, their own achievement. Now, I'll not take time tonight to go into the doctrine of mortification. I have a few verses here. Colossians 3:5 talks about mortify the members and so on. This is something that our Christianity does. If you are redeemed by the blood of Christ and you're a Christian, you're living by faith, living by grace, you know that you can never reach God's standard. And you hate sin. And you will ask the Lord to kill sin in your life. You will ask the Lord to put it away. And you will renounce it, lament over it, repent over it. The law of God will work humility within the believer's heart. Now, of course, that's true for the person that needs to be converted. They need to be brought away from their pride and self-centeredness. They need to be brought to the cross as a sinner and pleading grace for mercy. But also as we grow as a Christian, the use of the law in the Christian's life, when the Spirit of God shows you the perfections of the Lord and His standard, you don't try to ape it, you don't try to perform it, but rather you renounce your own ability and you put your trust, of course, in the Lord Jesus. Now that leads me to the truth, and this is the third point, what the law of God does when we are led by the Spirit. The Spirit-born Christian will be made humble, that's the first thing, but will also confess sin. Confess sin. And that is a daily thing for a Christian. It's not just once when we came as a sinner to Jesus and pleaded for salvation. There is a growing sense of sin and sinfulness within our own hearts. 1 John 1, verse 7, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. But if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then going into 1 John chapter 2, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, speaking to Christians, speaking to believers. And this is our source of mercy and grace and help and overcoming the guilt and the shame of sin. We plead the blood of Jesus continually to cleanse us more and more. Think of the mighty lesson the Lord had for these Pharisees when He talked about the publican that stood in the street beating his chest and pleading, "Be merciful to me, a sinner." And the Pharisee who in the very same place saying, "I thank God that I am not as other men." Can you see how one was conceited? One was full of himself and his own meekness and fitness to walk with God. The other who beat his chest in lament over his wickedness and his sin, the Lord pronounced this, Which one went down justified? The one that acknowledged he was a sinner. What a rebuke, what a sermon that was to these proud, haughty Pharisees. Can we take that to heart tonight? Can we become a people who beat our chest and say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner? There's only one way to walk with God, and that is to enjoy his mercy. And praise God, we will. Such is the gospel offer and the gospel provision that we will enjoy the favor of God, even though we recognize that we have lost out. Now, the last thing that you would find a Pharisee doing is opening up his heart in prayer and asking God for forgiveness. If the Pharisee came to the prayer meeting of the church, he wouldn't mention his own sins. He wouldn't do it. That would be too self-effacing. That would be too humbling. But when a Christian comes to the church prayer meeting, one of the first things we do is say, Lord, wash me from my sins. Cleanse me anew. Now, we may be walking with the Lord many years. We may be a Christian for a generation. And we might say, Lord, you've saved me many years ago, and you've done a great work in my heart, and I know my name's written in heaven, but Lord, I'm a sinner, and I need to be cleansed anew. And when we come to the place of prayer and the place of worship, we come with a sense of our own sinfulness and need of cleansing. And that's the opposite to the Pharisee's spirit. I wonder, would you come to the church prayer meeting and pray in this fashion? Taking the humble position, taking the plea for mercy, how we all need to do that. Father and mother in home, when you lead devotions, when you pray together and perhaps instruct your children in prayer, do you teach them, don't be the Pharisee, and confess that we all need cleansing and mercy from the Lord, and that we walk in the path of mercy. Final third point here tonight, the Spirit-born Christian is driven to rest on the righteousness of Christ. Except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees. Well, I've got good news for you tonight. You who have believed in the Lord Jesus, you have a righteousness that exceeds man-made righteousness. We are not trusting in the rag of man-made religion. We are trusting in a righteousness that was made in heaven, a righteousness that comes to us through our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that righteousness, the perfect righteousness of the Son of God, is given to us. Now, come back with me to Matthew 5 and to verse 17. And I hope that you will see the significance where the Lord says, I am not come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Every jot and tittle, every demand of the law that was made of God, our Lord Jesus fulfilled it. And therefore, he has a righteousness that he gives to those who come confessing their emptiness, their lost, sinful condition, and they plead that righteousness, Christ's righteousness, to clothe and to sanctify. For some reason, legalists or Pharisees in heart hate the gospel. Have you ever noticed how people get resentful to the gospel? Now, we all need wisdom and tact when we try to present the gospel of the Lord Jesus. And sometimes you think you've got that nice approach that's sweet and gentle, and you want to move in, not saying first line, you know, hell's a terrible place. No, you try to tell them, you know, that God has a plan of salvation, and then why that plan is needed. And when you get to the point, because you're not fit for heaven, as you stand tonight, you're not fit for heaven. You're a soul that is, you can't get to heaven by your own righteousness. And once you get to that point, it offends. And human nature is awfully offended at such a statement. And that's why these Pharisees and these Jews were so hostile to the ministry of Christ and later to the apostles and the early Christians. There was all at war. There was blood. They nailed the Lord Jesus to the cross because they hated the message of a foreign righteousness, another righteousness. They wanted to make it on their own. And of course, really what we're saying to people that you can't trust in your own goodness, your own attainments, your own works, you are naked before God. You have nothing, absolutely nothing to plead before God. You're lost. Except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees. And as I pointed out earlier, they were zealous about their kind of righteousness. They were fastidious about the details. They were gung-ho about how to do this with all their energy. But they missed the mark. And you might be the most sincere person, doing it your own way, giving it lots of time and lots of effort, maybe lots of money. But except your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the Pharisees, you will in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. What a wonderful thing that we have a gospel. And we want to sing this hymn in closing, but I want to just major on it a little bit here. That wonderful hymn, Jesus, thy blood and righteousness, my beauty are, my glorious rest. Midst flaming worlds and these arrays, with joy shall I lift up my head. And we as Christians tonight are very privileged that we know to renounce our own rags of self-righteousness and to go to the Lord and plead his righteousness alone. And through all the ups and downs of life, we have a perfect righteousness. We could go to the book of Romans tonight and lay it out how Paul pointed out through the death of the Lord Jesus that he has canceled the law and all the guilt of the law and all the condemnation. And as Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. We have a robe of perfect righteousness. I hope that I'm looking at you tonight and you can say, yes, I have that. That's my hope. That's my Christianity. That's my faith. That's my religion. That's my basis for heaven. And even on my dying day, I will have that perfect righteousness to my account. I hope tonight this gets through. And if you by some means have followed the path of the Pharisees and legalism and a religion of do's and don'ts, and no matter how far you've tried to climb that ladder, you will in no case enter the kingdom of heaven. You'll never get there in your own efforts. You need the perfect righteousness of the Lord Jesus. Will you trust him tonight and call on him to cover you, clothe you, and make you fit for heaven?
I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus, since I found in him a friend so strong and true. I would tell you how he changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me. All my life was full of sin when Jesus found me. All my heart was full of misery and woe. Jesus placed his strong and loving arms about me.
Well, again, it's a great privilege to be a part of ministering the God's Word today to your heart. And I trust that there is a word that just is a word of comfort and grace to your own soul, that you might know what it is to be saved. The great need is salvation, to be born again, to be brought into the family of God. So let's rehearse that question. What's wrong with being a Pharisee? The Pharisee, well, he simply said, as far as I can see, there's nothing wrong with me. He took the position that he was perfect, that there was no sin in him, and that all his efforts and works were adding up to a legal perfection or standard that God would accept. And he thought by his works, his good deeds, he was not only better than others and thereby despised others, but that he had a standing with God. Now that spirit of the Pharisee is really human nature at work, and you'll find it in every culture, in every society, and you'll find it in every human heart, because man by nature thinks that he can work to earn acceptance with God, and that's impossible, because, well, firstly, we're sons of Adam. We have original sin and guilt to our account. And then none of us love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength every hour of every day. So we feel, and then, of course, we've broken God's law. We have said things that are wrong. We have broken the law in many places. Lust, evil thoughts, and the very eye gate causes us to sin. And so we need salvation. We need a Savior. And if you take the attitude that you're a Pharisee, then you'll never even seek a Savior. And so you need to come confessing that you're lost and in need of salvation. Also, the good news of the gospel is that there is a righteousness. Christ Jesus gives us his righteousness to make us perfect for heaven. Think on these things. Pray over them. Call on God to work these things in your heart. Go to Matthew 5, read verse 20, pray on it, and ask God that he will show you your need of the Savior and the sufficiency of Christ to save you. And again, if I can be of personal help, make sure you give me a call. All the announcements are coming up now. Stay tuned for these. Thank you for joining with us here on Let the Bible Speak today. This is Ian Gollaher, and I hope that you will be a regular listener here as Monday to Friday, 5 and 5 p.m., we bring you the message of God's Word.
You are listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of the Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca, CA for Canada. There you can read my blog, find my Bible study notes, audio and video sermons, as well as helpful articles. Or you can go to our podcast on iTunes. We're on the air Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services on Sundays, 10:30 and 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view to our online services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Make it your Sunday worship. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-897-2040. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We're located just two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. Our website again is ltbs.ca. You can join us Monday to Friday, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., here on this station as we let the Bible speak.